Well, you know, the, if you're drawing digital, you know, I don't know if that's real art.
This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, Indie Comic Book Noise fans. We're here for our special year-end extravaganza. Originally, we had hoped for a full boat, but tentative commitments have required Phil the Ottawa Otter to go do battle with sleep. And Super Steve is out being the taking care of his family. Well, fingers crossed they patch in. But for now, it's just a two-man show. And those two men are WWX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
I'm the bulletproof chicken.
Helping keep this show on target. And myself, Andrew the LA Rabbit. Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. There are a ton of great shows you can listen to, including Marvel Noise, which features Steve, Kevin, and myself. There's also any type of comic book show you can want to get, you can get there. Also, tonight, we might be talking about old episodes that you can retrieve off the website, which is indiecomicbooknoise.com. That goes all the way back. You can listen to fun old episodes, dial up something at random. It contains our show notes, which have all kinds of web links and other things put in there. Frequently, some of these books are online, or have the artists have web sites that feature the artwork, so it's a good way to see it for free. We also have social media handles. Indie Comic Book N is the Twitter handle. There's a Facebook fan page. Kevin and I have our own Twitter handles. But if you follow the show tweets. Indie Comic Book Noise is the show where we talk about anything and everything all indie. All indie all the time. And indie just basically means not exclusively Marvel or DC. Although there's plenty of overlap in the incestuous comic book industry. We have the disclaimer at the front, but I really don't think generally we say anything that's all that controversial or offensive, but we want to make sure people are warned. Now that Phil isn't on the show anymore as much, we don't have as many controversial statements.
He cleaned up his act.
Well, that's fair. I probably make just as many controversial statements as Phil does. And this is a special episode. I deliberated about... I feel like it's not very indie to have planned shows. But I felt that it was important to do our year-end wrap-up, even though technically, obviously, some of you have probably figured out the year isn't completely over yet. But I figured it was close enough. And if something incredible happens in the last couple of weeks... we can always append it in our next episode.
Well, there's barely any comics coming out next week, so it's not like we're doing it in November or something.
Also, I feel like this isn't meant to be everything that's happened. We're not doing a like complete rundown. So the extent that a few things are omitted here or there, it's fully within the idea of this show. It was just a chance to kind of look back and reflect. We've done these before. And sort of what once. Was 2019.
I think last year was the first time you did it, right? And you sprung it on us?
Last year was the first time we did that. But I'm going to pretend that this is a long-standing tradition.
Okay.
Although it's fair as an indie show for us to mix it up and do what we want. We're Indie Noise. That's the fun. But with any luck, we've fired up the SOS flare. So if Super Steve can see it, and get to the security and safety of the bunker, we will patch him in.
Let's get this Indiana Jones podcast started.
Yes, so 2019, the year that was. Part of the fun of 2019 has been increased activity for us, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so many episodes.
We dropped episode 415 on January 6th of 2019, and that was our sum up of 2018. Then 25 episodes later, we posted episode 439 on December 15th. I'm not including this one. So that's 25 episodes in the can. 26, you know, if we get this done.
Yeah, that works out to one every 2 weeks, which is pretty insane.
That was our desired. I was kind of pushing for that. That would be the most I thought we could do. So I'm fairly pleased with it.
Well, you know, if we would have not waited in the fall, like, we would have blown past that.
Well, I also, I'm sure keen-eared, intelligent listeners of shows like this have noticed, I've also not instituted a formal time, but I've tried to keep the episodes to the around an hour ballpark. Now, sometimes we go shorter and sometimes we go longer if the discussion warrants it. But I think trying to do about an hour every 2 weeks is a good amount of show. If anyone disagrees, there, feel free to contact the Facebook or the Twitter and let us know and be like, no way, man, these episodes are way too long. I want 10-minute bursts every 4 days. Or I want one episode a month, but it make it 4 hours.
They want daily episodes.
We can
10-minute episodes every day.
The indie soundbite. We'll just post a 5-minute clip. Rotating. I'll just cut these off. We'll record like for 3 hours and then just release it in 5-minute bursts.
That's what we're going to do next year. We're going to release 300 episodes, but they're all going to be like 5 minutes each.
But to start backwards from it, because we do all things indie here, I felt like it was a pretty interesting year for media adaptations. I did not see, as well as I say that, and then I start with this one. Kevin, did you see the Hellboy movie that was released this year?
I did not see that one.
Neither did I.
It came and it went. And people are like, it's more accurate. And also, apparently, people didn't even care to like review bomb it or anything.
I felt that maybe Hellboy has peaked a few years ago after the first round of movies, and they had those animated adaptations as well. On a more, considering some critics are calling this peak TV, I feel like that saw Deadly Class, which I know you did watch, Kevin.
Yeah. The interesting thing about peak TV is it doesn't necessarily mean there's a lot of high quality TV, just that there's a lot of TV, which there is.
Well, I thought you liked Deadly Class, though.
I did.
That was the adaptation of Deadly Class was the Image, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, and I think Phil had watched that too. So I believe it did not get renewed for a second season. But any thoughts on season one?
It's weird looking back at it now. Because all the thoughts I had, well, not all of them, but some of them were like, what would you do with season two and how are they going to cut it up? And it's like, I think I got a little ahead of myself.
You and Rick Remender.
I don't know. I guess it could go in the reverse direction. Like, you usually have things that get movies and then later, oh, that's better as a TV series. So it would be weird if it went the other way. I'm getting ahead of myself again.
Well, we also saw, and this is going to reflect more Marvel noise, but I feel the launch of Disney Plus, for me, has me revisiting some old cartoons I've talked about there. But one of the competing streaming services, Amazon, unleashed The Boys on everyone, which is still on my queue to watch.
Wow. Good thing you did the research.
Well, I'm not sure if, I don't know if that's been renewed for another season or not. I feel like Watchmen's kind of sucked all the air out of the comic book adaptation TV shows.
I feel like it's sucked out a lot of things. Like, meanwhile, there's like a pretty good season of Mr. Robot going on. And people left that show, but I don't know. I feel like this season's been good. Not that it has anything to do with comics, but Watchmen's, you know, doing that to a lot of things.
Well, I just was thinking, The Boys got some buzz, But I guess that's the advantage of the weekly release versus releasing them all at once.
This is the thing. Like, media is trying to find that sweet spot, and then they also figured out that, hey, people might only talk about your show once. Which isn't great.
And this one goes to, I would say, one of the big storylines, and this segues us out of TV, even though it relates to TV back to comics, was the surprise ending of The Walking Dead with issue 193.
Phil killed it, remember?
Yes. Well, my wife still was reading it in trade. I had fallen off, but we have the trades, and I do intend to read them. I think I've mentioned this before. With The Walking Dead, I feel like it's popcorn comics. Like, I always enjoy it, and it's a good page-turner. But once I'm done with the trade, I can't really remember what happened. Like, it just feels like it's a summer blockbuster movie that I enjoy when it's happening, but it doesn't leave me with any kind of lasting. But it's fun when I'm reading it, so.
Did you purposely, like, just skip over, like, Umbrella Academy and everything?
No, I just figured, considering that it seemed like neither one of us had watched much of these things. And your comment about Deadly Class having the one we've watched, and you were like, yeah, well, it was kind of weird. Didn't seem like we were getting a lot of traction. So I switched up. But yes, do you want to mention, what did you think of Umbrella Academy?
I kind of mean to go back now, because there was that initial backlash of for me, and I saw a few comments, but it's like, oh, it's not them fighting an Eiffel Tower at the beginning. That doesn't seem like the show. And then, like most people said afterwards, like, even though it doesn't do some of that stuff, it's still good and good, like, doing its, like, the stuff in its own way that's, you know, not the Hollywood big budget effects part of the comic.
Well, there's certainly enough outrageous designs that by themselves would cost money to just have the character on screen, reminiscent of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they had Ghost Rider for only a bunch of episodes, I think, because the transformation effects were so expensive, purportedly. Yeah.
That's why Deadly Class is easier to do. And then they added a whole extra story to that.
Well, I do plan on having Umbrella Academy. It just hasn't percolated. There's so much TV I'm backlogged on. But is there any hot new manga or anime that you've been following, Kevin? I know we've discussed Attack on Titan on the show in different forms, because I think Phil said he actually preferred the movie to the TV show.
That is like so much insanity. Yeah, I think the last one I watched was Attack on Titan, and then I continued with the comics. And there was recently a sale, so I picked up the rest of the series.
And I have, circling back to what I brought up, I think I've kind of stopped watching the TV show for Walking Dead. And I know I stopped on the second show for sure. But again, it wasn't like I wasn't... It's not like it's bad, it had run its course for me.
Hmm.
And I might watch it. You know, with these things, if they're stored somewhere, you can always, if you don't actually go back and watch, you can at least tell yourself you're going to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I'm guessing you didn't watch, what was it, like The Devil Crybaby?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Maybe this is my own personal feed, but it seemed like a lot of people were talking about that classic manga when the animation came out and everything.
No, I haven't. I don't really keep up with manga and anime. I feel like I'm so swamped with reading the books that I'm already focused on and the companies I'm already interested in that trying to keep up, it doesn't happen.
I feel like if you would have invited Dan Leaf Insect Man on here, he would like talk about stuff for like 30 minutes.
Yes. Well, he's got that excitement. And like I said, we also had DC's streaming service really launched a bunch. But again, that doesn't... Now Marvel and DC have outlets for their adaptations.
What? DC doesn't have an outlet. They don't like foreigners.
Well, down here, down south of the border, we have... Although I don't subscribe to that anyways.
Like, no one else is good. Like, Disney Plus or anyone like that wasn't going to... screw that up. They're like, they're not going to say, well, it's only available in America. Like, that wasn't going to happen. And then, like, however far we are now into whatever year of the DC service, still not available.
But you get some of the shows, I think you talked about Swamp Thing, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, so you get some of it that stuff. I'm hoping that they iron out the comic book situation a bit more, but I'm sure at some point, if I figure out there's enough comic book content, then I may jump on, but the TV shows aren't going to be enough of a lure for me, considering we already have Amazon and Netflix and Disney Plus and
all this stuff. Do you have Hulu and all that?
I do not subscribe to Hulu, but we have access to it.
You can watch that other... Those other comic book shows that we can't mention on this podcast.
Yeah, I'll have to make some decisions about that. But it's been a crazy... I feel like everything that you could want, every company has something. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not particular to 2019, but IDW had that Wynonna Earp show.
Yeah, there's a few more Netflix... indie shows that you probably didn't watch either.
Well, doesn't Miller have the deal with Netflix? I thought they were developing.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Liefeld had a deal at one point.
So it just seems like if you've got to dust off your books, old creators, and even if it's been sitting around for 10 years or whatever, shopping around, because it feels like someone will go ahead and take a roll the dice with it.
Like, I think there was a Fantagraphics book that made it on there. Some other stuff, too.
Well, back to comic book news, I would say another, other than Walking Dead ending, the biggest, one of the big news and a big seller was Spawn 300.
Yeah.
That was, according to the Comicron numbers, which is John Jackson Miller organizes those. And there's plenty of disclaimers, but I feel they're an adequate indication of at least the direct comic market. That was the number two overall seller of books. I mean, a lot of that was due to all the different covers.
Number two?
Yeah.
Who was number one?
It was not an independent book, so therefore we don't talk about it.
You have to tell me off air.
Yes. It was perhaps... If you put on your detective hat...
Are you kidding me?
And think that, boy, if it was only half of the year 2000, you may be able to deduce what book sold the most.
No wonder they're repeating that over and over again.
Well, with both... those books, not that they didn't sell well, but there were also a number of variant covers. And I don't know to what effect that influences things. I think because they're pretty recent. This is also only through November. I don't know if there was some hot book that dropped in December. But Spawn 300 and Detective 1000 are big, big number books. And they're going to have the variant covers. So if in 6 months we might be seeing a bunch of those in the cheapy bins, I don't know. I mean, maybe they were all sell through. Kevin, did you pick up Spawn 300?
No. It was an expensive book. And as you said, tons of copies were sold. So no reason to really pick it up. I mean, I've seen a lot of these. Like, I'm not to say that the other... anniversaries like that don't get high sales. And maybe these will pick up like some value or whatever in the future, but it really seemed like there is too many of these. Like, these went eventually all to be discounted. And I don't remember seeing that with previous, like, 600s or 700s.
Looking at the Comicron numbers again, what was interesting, I thought, was Spawn 301 was number 11 on the list, which is super high.
You know what's interesting? When you follow a graph of Spawn sales over the years, and it's like they're absolutely like at the bottom, like the bottom, like at some point in the 200s. And then as like from like 250, and it's like gradually like picking up on the road to 300.
Yeah. Well, just to let you know, Spawn 302 dropped to number 261 on the list. So
that's still higher than higher than it was before.
But I just thought it was funny that, like, obviously the 300, but I was really impressed that 301 stayed that high.
Yeah.
So clearly people were impressed with it. I've picked up a few random issues of Spawn here or there, but like you, I figure I got a shot at some shows early next year where I got to think they'll just be piles of the Spawn 300 and Detective. All those books usually end up sitting around in people's kind of dollar and 50 cent bins because they needed to order so many to get the whatever variants were hot.
Image loves the variants sometimes.
Well, I don't look. It's a significant milestone, and to have the creator still involved, and I'm not enough of an expert to the series to say how involved he is, whether it's just, you know, rubber stamping or he's really in there plotting out issues ahead of time or doing all that, I don't know, but 300 issues is impressive, especially considering if you look at what the other Image founders,
you know. We should get Savage Dragon 300.
Right.
And that'll be big, but that's, and I think it says like the next, I don't know, there was some line, I don't remember the exact quote, but it's like the next Image book or the next one to 300 or whatever. And it's like, and the last Image founder to get to 300.
Wildcats? Is it Bad Rock? What was Valentino's book like?
Shadowhawk?
Yeah, Shadowhawk. Is that going to be up there?
Youngblood is going to be up there.
So I feel like it's certainly an accomplishment, and I hope... I like to think that there's a cadre of dedicated Spawn fans who keep that book going. But yeah, for all I know, it's people that just jump on and jump off, too. I don't know.
Like I don't know. Spawn has a certain level of popularity. Spawn number one is not... you shouldn't be finding it in, like, the 50-cent bin.
Yeah, and it's a fun idea. I just, when it first came out and I read some of that stuff, it's very 90s, like particularly aggressive 90s, like in your face. And I like McFarlane's art for its storytelling elements, but I felt like Spawn was perhaps a little self-indulgent in the tropes of that era that don't appeal to me. I mean, I've got tropes of eras I do like that aren't any better or worse.
I mean, if you're launching, everything that happened, you're basically launching your own company, doing your own book, and you're gonna go heavy into your own tropes.
True, but I do think that, I don't know. Are you? I mean, are you gonna go that deep?
Especially if you're an artist, you're not drawing those cars or horses or whatever.
Horses driving cars.
Yeah, like you're not doing that.
I guess. I enjoyed McFarlane's old work. It just, Spawn never hooked me. I feel like there should be maybe an approach of those guys to curate some kind of best of Spawn or whatever to try and lure people like me in. I don't know. Or they pick the top 25 issues or whatever runs or something.
It's so weird that I have like this, like, I can't really call it a nostalgia type of thing, but it's this weird thing after I like skipped out on that stuff and then waiting like decades later, like sort of like I've done with the Deathmate, to like now that we're like far removed, like just to go back and read it and just see what happened, like this weird, like you're an archaeologist going, what is this? What happened? And just goof around with it, right?
Having less cooks in the kitchen, I assume is going to make this a little bit easier to translate.
But I wouldn't want to go beyond, like, I don't know, maybe the first 25 or first 50 or something.
Well, that's why I thought if someone who was a fan could curate, and I don't care if they picked issues from all over the place, just whatever they thought was, like, the best introduction to the character. Like, here's 25 to 30 issues in a trade volume. Like I said, the Reflections on Spawn or Best of Spawn or whatever. Because DC, with a lot less issues, used to have those, that series like Best Batman Stories, Best Joker Stories. It was usually less than that. That was maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12. I always thought they were good. And they'd pick old stuff and new stuff and different eras.
And I just like, remember getting like a Spawn issue for free with my... this is a total misread, but like giving me a Spawn issue saying, this is a real cool done in one, like the Twilight Zone, trying to sell me on Spawn type of stuff. And then of course I have an idea of what the thing is, and you read it and you're pretty much right with what you thought it was. It was that. Like, how could it not be? It will, even though you had not read it, you read enough Wizard magazines, seen enough artwork, read enough interviews. Like, it wasn't going to... The likelihood that it was going to turn out to be not what you thought it was, you know. So that didn't get me started on Spawn, like, issue, I don't know, 87 or whatever I ended up receiving.
Well, that's why I'd want someone to curate the thing. Someone who's like, okay, this is an era. Maybe a little introductory piece about why they selected. I also don't know if generally Spawn had giant arcs or not. I know in the 90s it was popular to do that, and so that might make it harder to pull out ones here and there.
I think to some degree, like, I don't know, probably someone like Savage Dragon, I would guess, would be easier to pull out arcs and stories.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with doing that. Like I said, I recognize that there are all kinds of storytelling techniques, and if you're in those really dense, heavy books, which is, again, something we might be covering on the other podcast, I dropped into a very dense 90s book that may or may not appear on a future Marvel Noise. And it really is something when you're thrown in and you're completely, even for an experienced reader such as I, because there's always like 100 different subplots and whatever's going on with the character, their, you know, whatever their current romantic interest is or what recently happened. It's always a fascinating blow by blow of that stuff. But anyways, that's a...
I never want to really stop doing that though, like with like either jumping into old books or new books. Like, I know there's people get like closed off sometimes in their ways, or they only want to relive past glories or something, but I'm like, I want to keep like jumping into the weird worlds of comics and just be like totally surprised by like something like that. Like, you can still be totally mesmerized and going, what is this?
Wait, Kev, is that a dig at me? Because I accidentally buy the same issue more than once. How dare you? Look, they have different covers, and sometimes I get tricked. But, yeah, so those were, I would say, and again, I hate to be all image-focused or whatever, but those to me, jumped out as the big two comic stories. If I had to pick two, was the Spawn anniversary and the end of The Walking Dead. Not there was another exciting things, but like from industry-wide
people
buying books. I mean, as I've mentioned, I had my book of the year that I that hasn't finished, that the indie series I keep harping on about, which I'm sure people are about tired of me talking about it.
I thought the best the book of the year would be that series that isn't put out by a comic publisher.
Yeah, that's mine. But like I said, I think that people are tired. Yeah, you know, I've been talking all like the last issue hasn't come out yet.
The last issue? There's no issues.
What are you talking about?
You know, by a real book publisher, but you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean. Direct
market stuff.
I don't know what you mean, I guess.
Oh.
I'm talking about Out of Order. That
you're not talking about Guts?
No, I'm talking about Out of Order, the book. I've mentioned it. I've read the first 1-4. I bought it at a couple different shows. That's the book about the couple and the guy has schizophrenia. And they put out the comics themselves. That's what I thought you meant. Like, they're not they're technically a publisher, but all they publish is their own comic. Yeah, that's been my book of the year.
I don't know if I have a book of the year.
But, I mean, that's a real small, like, I don't think enough people are, you know what I mean? Like, they sell it themselves through the internet. I mean, you can go to mikeandsoulcomics.bigcartel.com. Again, I've banged on about this a couple times this year, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I've been enjoying it. Can't wait for the last issue. It's what's exciting about comics, finding this crazy thing. I would say for you, Kevin, the comic you most got excited about was the Copra reboot.
Really?
Yeah, you seem pretty pumped about it.
Huh. Interesting.
Why, you don't remember being pumped about it?
No, I was pumped.
Because, you know, you go back. It's that whole thing when you started buying the floppies. Right from, you know, before it was a thing. Before he got the Image deal and all that. And it was just put out by that comic book store.
Yeah, I got some of the issues. A few issues.
Yeah, so I always feel that way too when there's some, you know, you get in on the ground floor. It's always exciting.
Usually I was buying the trades though. I mean, I considered ordering some of those early issues online at one point and then it was a little cost prohibitive.
I mean, you could also say things like, I know the Turtles keep turning around for IDW. That's a good book, I think.
That's a good decade topic, though, because the Turtles came back this decade.
Yeah. But I always think of Phil more than whenever we have Turtle talk. Phil's
my Turtle man. Power? Turtle Soup?
Eh. Well, there was also GoBots.
I kind of hesitated. I'm like, if I'm thinking of a best of 2019, I'm like, maybe. So this is where favorite or not most excited. Most crazily discussed at a high-pitched volume of what is happening. Like, I would say the excitement level was maybe the highest for GoBots, maybe. We were pretty excited.
Yeah, we were fired
up. I was for us coming back, but I think we had, like, tons of fun doing the GoBots thing.
Yes, I also enjoyed your Copra guy took a break to do a very short G.I. Joe series. Fife did G.I. Joe Sierra Madre, I think. It was just three issues for his own kind of standalone G.I. Joe book. That was pretty cool.
Don't sneeze in that mask.
This was the year that I got back into G.I. Joe, the Larry Hama stuff. We picked up Die, I believe was this year, Kevin, the Image book.
Yeah. Also, we repeatedly tried to talk about that book that we couldn't name, that you started saying, okay, I'm putting a boycott on this. You can't talk about this.
Yes.
There's also that book.
The Black Hammer was a popular title this year. I feel like we didn't have as much Valiant talk that it was as we normally do.
That's my fault. I like started prioritizing some things and I sort of fell behind on some stuff, and it's just like, it's weird that this goes back to how I like read comics and discuss them on the internet way back. It's not necessarily the book you wanted to read that would be first on your stack. It's like, what book is going to be spoiled first? And you can pretty much guarantee that no one's going to talk about Valiant books.
How dare you?
So, it's funny that now that I'm buying like most of the books, I'm not caught up on any of the book. I'm caught up on one of the books. I shouldn't say like none of the books. I'm caught up on Psylords.
Okay. Well, that's a good one to be caught up on.
I know. It's also like sort of off tangently to the side, so you can like safely read it and not get spoiled maybe by some other events. But like I do intend to hopefully maybe do some large chunk reviews of or summaries or thought pieces on some other runs, because I have them all.
Okay, well that's good. To cycle back to IDW, it was somewhat of a big year for them. They got the relaunch of Usagi Yojimbo, which is, again, not a huge seller or anything, but a solid Dark Horse book forever, seems like. Hello, Kevin?
Was that one of the infamous books of the year that I covered?
That was one where we had a few, but it just is it's a significant shift. A book that's been with a publisher for that long,
that's
going
weird.
To another publisher is, I think, like I said, it's not like it sells like 50,000 books a month or anything, but I would say it's a significant book.
And I wouldn't say that IDW is a more steady, stable company than Dark Horse.
Well, I feel like Dark Horse has suffered some blows with the loss of the Conan and Star Wars license. Hasn't, you know, and then Usagi jumping. It feels like there's been more shifting away, where IDW, while still a big licensing place, I mean, they did pick up the Marvel Kids line license, which is a pretty good license, I would think. I don't follow the sales on that stuff, but they got the Star Wars and all the Marvel characters. Plus, they did those two Dick Tracy adaptations. I think the first one finished up this year.
Right.
And then they did the second one.
Those were pretty interesting.
Yeah, they still have, as we talked about Turtles, they still have G.I. Joe, I believe Transformers, My Little Pony, all those Hasbro licenses. And if Hasbro has threatened to have a shared cinematic universe, and if that happens, that'll be another big push for the company.
Plus, that reminds me. You going to watch Lock and Key?
I don't think so. The book was fine. I don't think I got past the first trade. It didn't really do much. I think we've talked about this before. Generally, and not that I don't read some, but children protagonists are not my favorite. That being said, I've read things like Only the Living Boy that I really liked.
Yeah.
And things like that. But it's a harder sell for me, just because I feel like there's a lot of that. And so it needs to be something kind of unusual like that. Like, I liked it. He was in this other world, but just to have the family, you know, with the kids kind of being their own parents is of less interest to me personally. How did you read the Lock and Key stuff? I know Phil did.
I read the first volume, and I didn't feel the urge to continue on. I mean, that was super hyped too.
Yeah, it was like there's no criticism I have for the execution of it. I just feel like it didn't land with me.
That's what I'm thinking. The TV series I might have a better chance with. And like it's not. I don't have any hang-ups about it like I do with something like The Boys, probably. Or probably less hang-ups.
And then there were, as always, Image had those kind of breakout hits. I remember Little Bird was a big one. Or at least it felt like. Maybe it wasn't a hot seller. I mean, maybe at the beginning.
I haven't seen it on a lot of end-of-year lists.
What have you been seeing?
Oh, putting me on the spot, aren't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Shifting focus.
Wow. Wow. As I type in the background, best of list. There's certain types of best of list, right?
I don't know. I don't really read a lot of comic book criticism, opinions, reviews. I sometimes look at the Comics Journal a little bit, and then that's
That's too far in one direction for me.
Yeah, that's generally my problem. Obviously, one of the big news on a sadder note. Every year there's passings, and that would be Tom Spurgeon passing away because he ran a really good site, The Comics Reporter.
Wait, did you talk about that last episode?
Yeah, I think we had, because he just recently passed. I believe we talked about his passing.
Wait, is that why I wasn't on that part of the episode?
I don't know. Were you not on that part of the episode? I'm sure I must have spoken about it. I mean, I felt it was pretty... Might have been the episode before that one. I don't know. But it was fairly recently, and it just seemed to come out of nowhere. It was just really sad. He was a champion of comics all the way around.
It's just these... You get different lists from different websites, and some of them are like, these are the best comics, and then it's like all big two. Or then you get the other ones, these are the best comics, and it's all these like indie comics you never heard about.
Yes.
So I'm not saying either of those places are necessarily wrong, but it's probably not. It's probably a combination of things. So yeah, I'm usually looking for. I guess it depends on who you're getting to compile your list to. So.
Well, I was trying to get you to compile a list, but I guess that didn't.
It's easier when you're doing a decade thing,
yes.
Than it's not that I didn't read, like I felt like I've read a lot of indie stuff this year because we were recording a lot of episodes too, and I just kept on reading. But I don't know if it would necessarily. Like I would usually think if something was like a 5 out of 5 or something. But there are some things that have been showing up on lists that I feel like I should check out. Like this Peter Cannon Thunderbolt from, oddly enough, Dynamite by Karen Gillan. Because it seems like it has a whole Watchmen-ish Alan Moore thing going on. So I am intrigued.
Well, there are also some good new publishers. I know you really liked Sarah and the Royal Stars from Vault Comics.
Yeah. But would I put it on a best of list? That's the thing, right? But if I'm going to make an indie best of, I mean, guess something has to make it eventually.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not asking for your best Marvel and DC.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
you can't separate those, Kevin. They're inextricably tied up.
Maybe I would, because some spots would be taken by.
Well, obviously, Black Hammer, and we'll count the Justice League.
I mean, yeah,
Hammer of Justice.
Like Black Hammer is pretty easy.
I think. You also didn't you really like Metal Shark, bro?
I don't think it would make the list. I really don't think it would make the list.
I'm just based on what you've said this year. I can't crawl inside your skull and figure it out.
I feel like there's things I haven't read that would make the list.
You can't count stuff you haven't read. Well, you've read plenty of, like, very indie, like your TCAF, like Mathematical Solutions for a Global Crisis type book.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, did I enjoy that stuff? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty enjoyable. I'm like, it's crazy. I had fun. So I'm like, I guess that would be on my list. If I was going to write out of all the books I read all year, I'm like, yeah. But if I was some website and we had to like put together, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I would be contributing a lot of indie books to the, it's weird, right?
You have to, like, this is an indie book. Like,
I know.
Well, what about
It's hard to say what I'm saying.
Well, we also had Aftershock as a publisher.
Never. No. Never. No. You know what would go on there? What was the book I talked about? Didn't you see them at it? I thought they were at a con you were at recently.
They may have been. I don't know. I'm just,
and I thought you were going to go there, and you may have, and not seen anything.
Yeah, it's always hard. Well, also sometimes when you're in it, you're just kind of wandering around like an idiot. That's my general stance, is me just sort of blathering around. And Oni Press had the Morning in America book. The problem with Oni is they don't put out a lot of floppies every year.
Yeah, I feel like Oni and me have passed.
And Dark Horse had the Karen Berger imprint.
Also stuff I pass on. See, I'm not... I've covered, like, all the weird, like, TCAF and, like, mini-comics. And then we get to, like, actual, like, previews publishers. And I'm like, most of that stuff, I pass on.
Well, there's something wrong.
This is where I get true indie. I would rather buy those weird mini comics and stuff rather than buy something like a Karen Berger line of curated literary comics.
Although,
like,
there's nothing wrong with being the art comics guy, but you are a Matt Kent guy too, and he had some Poppy and the Lost Lagoon from Dark Horse.
Did not read.
After I
Folk called... Lords, did not read. Ether Series 2 did not read.
Man, I thought you were maybe you're not a Matt Kent guy after all these years.
Big Matt Kent guy. But I was buying a lot of books, and like the concept, I did not read Black Badge. Maybe I should have, but I don't know. It just was, I don't know. Next year is going to be better though, because he has that book Bang coming out. For 2020, I'm already pre-ordering that, so I'm back on the Matt Kent bandwagon for 2020.
Good, we need you back on Valiant, back on Matt Kent. We'll right this ship. Has to be, something's got to fill that Black Hammer void, Kevin.
Yeah, well, Black Hammer has that Skull Boy and everything coming out.
It's hard to keep momentum on some of these. I remember, you know, things burst, especially Image with its, like, they come out with a couple, like, Bitterroot came out, and then they take a break. And I know for a while you were into Maneaters, too. Did you keep up with that, Kevin, or did you let that go?
I feel like I was never into Maneaters.
Well, you bought a bunch of issues of it. Look at you revising history already.
I don't know. This whole episode's gonna be like, he doesn't like indie comics or something, which is weird. This is the weird review, but I almost want to say that's like a big disappointment of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, that I don't know what I was expecting. I was, I guess, like, the way, like, Die blew up and the way we came to like Die and that type of... I feel like that's what I was expecting Maneaters to do. Like, commercially and reader-wise.
Oh,
and
I see.
And I feel like that never materialized.
So because you couldn't flip it for $50, it's a failure, Kevin. That I get how you're now judging these books by how much you can resell it for.
Short box, Andrew. Beneath the Dead Oak Tree, that was pretty good.
Okay.
I think that would be high on my list for the year.
Well, I remember you were flustered by the new company TKO Presents with their distribution issues.
I mean, if I lived in a different country, it would be easier. But yeah, this is what I also say. Don't market to me. Like, why would you do that? There's a whole other audiences to reach. But yeah, adding $20 onto your purchase price. Not a winner. So I know I can get it digitally or whatever. I know maybe at some point I will. I know. I feel like I've taken a step back in some respects, like looking at it now, I probably took a step back once this is hilarious. Cause I'm sure the data, maybe I'm the outlier. The data doesn't bear this out or whatever. Or it's like, it was only a blip on the Amazon or Comixology, like money or whatever sales. And then they thought, oh, we're going to take a little hit and then people will just come back. You know what, when they remove the in-app purchases. And I know that's like quite a ways back now, but I think I bought some more things and things that, I don't know, it was easier. And also my love of, like, rediscovering the love of, like, back issues and single issues and visiting, like, The Beguiling in person and stuff like that. Like, that's where I feel like I've gotten more into doing stuff like that rather than digital.
Well, you also had another book from Short Box, the James Stokoe Sobek.
Yeah, that was fun and exciting, too.
Is Short Box your new study group comics, Kevin?
They might be, because I'm going to definitely look them up next year and see what they have, and I'll probably, if all works out, I might pick up a bunch of stuff, and that'll be my new go to.
Your new art comics crush.
Yeah, that's true. Because Vault's not really an art comics crush.
No,
is
no,
it?
We need like study group comics. Short Box is real serious. F.U. Superhero Jerks comics.
I know, but not just scribbles on a page and someone pissing off of a tree. Like, I can't do that.
And you were very excited also, I thought, with the Samurai Jack return to comics, because you like Sam. Well, maybe you just like the property.
I mean, it's decent. I don't know. I always have problems with the comics. I think I've laid that out. Where it's interesting to visit, but nothing ever really makes me wanna stay. Like maybe this is what I need. I need Tom Scholey to come in there and put those 1,000 panels per page and give me the Samurai Jack story that we all deserve.
So we have to find some other obscure 80s toy. Samurai Jack versus Crystar, the Crystal Warrior.
I mean, someone's got to do Dino Riders, right? Who has the rights to Dino Riders?
There you go. We got it all. We got it all online here.
Is that Hasbro? I don't know.
I don't know. Following that toy stuff, I remember I was trying to figure out about ROM because it was a Parker Brothers, and I think it eventually ended up Hasbro owns almost all that stuff at this point.
Wait, Dino Riders, the program creators, Jerry Conway, really?
Oh, wow. Good on him.
I had no idea. Assuming this is correct, you know, the internet. So someone could have edited this. You could have just a few seconds ago. Kevin's going to get a kick out of this one.
I'm not that smart nor hardworking.
I wonder if that's why. I mean, it didn't last long. 14 episodes. This has become cartoon noise.
Hey, you watched the Super Dinosaur cartoon?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a 2019, at least in Canada. I don't know what it's doing down here. I don't have much interested in it, so.
I think it was 2018, probably. 2019 for Amazon Prime.
I mean, all in all, I guess I don't have my summary of 2019 changes. I mean, the Walking Dead ending is a big deal, but it didn't really impact. I was, you know, would buy them in trade for my wife and then sometimes read them.
And I stopped reading it at 100.
Yeah, and I understand Saga is supposed to come back at some point. Because I think in interviews he said he wants to double it.
That's always like the people's like top book for everything.
But I mean, that's been on a break for a little while now. I don't know when they're going to get back. And that had breaks also when it was coming out. Although I got to say, I guess it was 54 was the last issue and that came out 2018. I guess I got to say that if it ends up being a better comic, I think Steve always says it's, who, you know, 10 years from now, who's going to care that it took a little extra time. But
didn't Criminal come back this year?
Yes, I think it did. Or at least in some format, because we talked about, it was that weird where each one was a different theme, because they had the one guy that was going to the Comic-Cons.
Yes, that's right. And then Monstrous continued on.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some strong, but I feel like there wasn't anything, those big seismic shifts of Walking Dead and all that didn't impact me as much, so I feel like. Although I think it's got to hurt Image. I wonder how they feel. I don't know what, and I know we've discussed Kirkman's other stuff, but I don't, Invincible's now done and Walking Dead is done, so.
I don't think Invincible was never, never a thing, really, to bring in the numbers like Walking Dead,
but I think it was a solid book, like a solid, and I think it did well in trade, too. I think Super Steve had those nice hardcovers and people buy the trade. So I'm not sure where 2020 is going to head as far as that direction. More shakeups or...
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Savage Dragon's got to hit 300 at some point.
Well, it's 250 next year.
Well, that's something. I mean, what are we going to do when we hit episode 450? What books are we going to be able to cover?
Probably nothing. Just like episode 400, the non-spectacular, were they even going to record an episode?
All right, well, I think do you have any final thoughts on 2019? I think we might wrap this up here.
I think there's enough meandering.
Yeah, I think we've meandered around enough, but that's 2019, a meandering kind of year, where news dropped and didn't faze us in the least, apparently. Shows went, titles came, titles went.
Apparently this is like the filler episode or since it's indie comics, it's not a filler episode.
No filler.
It's I feel like doing double page spreads and having no words and having 20 pages, and that's what I wanted to put there. So even if it takes 2 minutes to read, it's my personal vision, so screw you guys.
Yeah, narrative is dead. We're just going to make random noises into the microphone. Be really indie.
It's the drum solo or the person just scratching their nails on the chalkboard for 10 minutes in between a song going, that's what I want to do. You better accept it.
Because we're indie.
Yeah, it's true. So I guess the next episode will be the real...
The real
rapper. Energy, fire.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to draft one of our fellow compatriots. They always bring that. They bring that. Steve brings the fire.
It's like, Phil, I don't know. If you don't get Steve next time, I don't know. We're going to have to get into the rest of the material.
We are. And Phil brings the poor audio quality. So,
oh, poor Phil. Poor Phil.
But wanted to thank all the listeners for taking their time. I hope they all had a great 2019. And I hope we and they continue into 2020.
Dread was probably the book of the year, right?
Sure. I read some classic Dread this year.
It's true. It's true. One of the more classic stories out there.
So keep making it independently comic book noise. Kevin, your catchphrase?
Keep gaining... No. When is it? Keep gaining sentience? It's good for you. That doesn't sound right.
I think it's developing, but...
Oh, that's right.
Do you want to try and take two?
Keep developing sentience. It's good for you.
Yeah.
Boy, let's put this to bed. This is sad. Man, this is... What were we thinking?
All things are interesting. There's that big old loop. Now look up. Way up. And we're on our way to the castle. I'll hurry over first and go in the back door so I can let the drawbridge down and open the big front doors for you. Are you ready? Here's my castle. Chair for two more to curl up in. Someone wants to rock a rocking chair in the middle. There. Now, hook up. Way up. And I'll call Rusty. Rusty?
Hi.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi, family.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good, good.
Where have you been? What have you seen or thought about? Or...